Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Joyce needs to work on her aim. I don't think that's how you play Marco Polo. And Steve has some very smelly pee here on Stranger Things.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome back to Stranger Things Season 3, Episode 5, The Flayed. Wow, this show gets better and better. I am Roxy Stryer, but I am not here by myself. I am with an entire panel of Stranger Things experts, starting with the sci-fi monster expert herself. Some might even call her a monster when she growls. It's Angelica Trey.
Am I growling? Growl.
You don't have to.
When you ask, it ruins it.
Then I build it up. I do this whole thing, and then you like.
Okay. Okay. No. I got it next time.
No. Next time's going to be episode 6. It's a short season.
I'm learning because you know what? These episodes are getting more and more vicious.
Okay.
I'm going to learn from them.
Well, somebody who has already learned, potentially, as she has been doing the after show since day one, including the original after show for Netflix itself, it is Tiana Hobson.
Oh, hey there, everyone. I was waiting for applause to start. I thought you guys were going to clap for me, but that's cool.
I'm pretty sure Brianna Phipps in the booth has the control over that. She did not hit that applause.
I just wanted you guys to applaud me, but it's fine. Hi, everyone. I'm Tiana Hobson. Happy to be back. Also, as always, I am in the YouTube live chat right now, so if you're watching us live, please get in there, say hello, tell me I'm pretty, all that good stuff.
I mean, can they talk about the show?
Or oh, yeah, you could also talk about that, but mostly just talk about how pretty I am.
Okay, or talk about the 80s, because you know who wants to hear it. Our 80s expert, even though he's not an 80s kid, even though he tries to say he is, Ryan Nelson.
Ryan Nelson here. Guys, the big question is, will Erica make it to Uncle Jack's party? I don't think so. Is Tina going to cover for her?
I feel like we have a lot of other concerns going on right now.
Low priority.
It is very low priority, but it's still a priority, and we have a lot of them going on this episode, and we're going to break it all down here for you guys, including some relationship drama again. You guys know how I'm feeling about Nancy and John. They're making up, they're breaking up, they're doing the whole thing. Same thing with Joyce and Hopper. And we've got the ice cream gang in full effect. Like I mentioned before, some smelly pee giving you guys away.
Do you think he was, like, eating a lot of asparagus?
Can't eat that asparagus. You got to drink your water.
Ice cream.
Too much ice cream for him. You know what? Instead of Ryan's That So 80s segment, should we just give tips on how to pee clean?
Mm. Yeah.
No, I just heard the audience vote, and they voted for Ryan's That So 80s segment, where we give you all the 80s references. And of course, Angelica's going to give us some news and gossip. But before we get to all of that, I need to know, episode 5, we are now over the halfway hump. How are you feeling about this episode? Angelica, you start.
Holy cow. It went from strange to scary.
Strange
to be scary things.
Oh.
Scary things. This has turned into a straight horror show right now, and I'm terrified. And honestly, I don't know where it's going to go from here, but the monsters keep getting scarier and scarier, and I'm freaking out.
I'm kind of digging watching with everybody. You have some interesting reactions throughout, I will say.
I'm very expressive.
Yeah, for sure. Tiana, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. The monsters are scary. I covered my eyes, I'm not going to lie. And yes, it is daytime right now, but I'm happy I'm watching it with you guys and not alone on my couch at night.
Yeah, absolutely. This is no longer a nighttime show for
no.
me. Can't do it.
Can't do
not
it.
Not sleeping. Ryan, how are you feeling?
I love this episode. I think this show is just, it keeps rising with the action. We're getting more and more 80s references, more and more breaking of cliches. I'm really into it right now.
Although I will say, I won't spoil which part because we will get to it. This was the first episode, guys, the very first episode I have heard Ryan have any complaint about anything.
Definitely had a problem.
He said it out loud and I was shocked because you're Ryan Sunshine and Rainbows.
No, I'm always positive. Not today.
Well, not today, Stranger Things. It was literally one small scene, but we will get to that. But that's not where we're going to start. We're going to start with, speaking of sunshine and rainbows, with some ice cream. Our ice cream gang. Is it weird that I'm calling them that, considering only two of them work at the ice cream shop?
I like ice cream crew.
So now you've got an issue with the ice cream gang.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to start picking apart words here.
Okay, so the ice cream crew. How are we feeling about... No, Tiana didn't like that. No?
Gang is so 80s.
But it's the gang solved the debate.
Listen, I'm...
Ice cream kids?
I think it's ice cream kids. It's the ice cream train.
They're the ice cream kids. Erica eats a lot of ice cream. Dustin hangs around the ice cream shop, and the other two work there. So you guys know who we're talking about. That crew. They are stuck in the elevator when we leave them off last. And now, you know, they've been there all night. There's been some scheming. There might have been some making out. I don't really think that's what happened, but that's what's happened in Dustin's mind. Dustin feels like that's what Robin and Steve are doing, but really they're just trying to figure out how do we get out of here. They don't figure it out, so Steve's gotta take a leak. I don't know how I feel about this. If you are stuck in an elevator and you're there for less than 24 hours with somebody, are you okay with them pissing down the side of it?
I mean, you have to. When you gotta go, you gotta go. So,
but do you?
I just felt bad for the girls because it's always harder for us to get to just relieve ourselves than it is for the guys.
Have you learned how to pee standing up yet, guys?
No.
What?
I can barely squat. My knees are bad.
Is that a thing? Yeah. You said yet, like this is a next.
Yeah, there's
process.
Like a whole group of women that know how to pee standing.
Okay. Well, I learned something.
I'm not one of them.
Me neither.
So this was an aim issue for Robin. She just wanted him to scooch a little bit to the left. Is it just got to be so hard? Is that too much to ask? Just don't pee where you're peeing.
He could have aimed better. I know. We got to aim way better with the urinals. But I think this was a really fun part of the episode. I got some Star Wars vibes sneaking around the Death Star. Really cool.
Yeah, the hallways.
Sequences. Yeah, the hallways. And Steve actually want to fight.
Yeah, so ultimately we end up in that comms room. Thank you, Erica, by the way, for pointing that out. You might be small, but you are mighty, girlfriend. She gets us there, and we go in, and lo and behold, we did not clear the room. There's just somebody there. Steve really impressively beats him up. Way to go, Steve.
Which, call back to the previous episode when Dustin basically calls him out because his plan originally was to attack a guy with a gun. And Dustin was like, nah, dude, like, you've never won a fight. That's a dumb idea. And then here Steve goes, just not thinking, just reacting, because that's what boys do.
Ryan.
That's what we do. Uh-huh.
I said boys, not men.
Oh.
Ooh. Wow. He called himself an 80s boy,
Steve, that's true. Steve totally is still a boy. But was the guy in the room reaching for his gun or his walkie?
Gun.
It was a gun. Okay.
That was
definitely a
piece.
A gun.
Here's my problem, that I won't get glasses, so look just like a walkie-talkie to me. Really
yeah,
good.
I mean, I think it's because he was fighting for people he legitimately cared about, one of which being Robin. I do think that's going to happen.
You're shipping this?
I'm shipping that, okay. And I think, you know, in the past, when he's lost these fights, they've been for people he's cared about, but not deep down. Have
all right.
Feelings for.
Deviating for 1 second, I thought that the actor that plays Steve and the actress that plays Nancy were dating in real life.
No,
I thought I remembered that from Tiana when we went to the season 1 premiere when they were sitting on that couch together.
No, we just thought they were dating.
Okay, well,
they clearly had good chemistry and they were very.
So I thought this whole time they were dating, but then when I looked it up, Nancy and Jonathan are actually dating in real life, which is bananas because why do I so badly don't want them to be dating on this show? It's just confusing.
Agree.
Yeah. What's happening here?
We disagree on this. Okay. We disagreed on this.
Steve and Robin, fun. They can be together for now. You know, they're not endgame, but I am seeing some flirting going on there. Although, is it more like Dustin wants Steve and Robin to be together or more like Dustin's in love with Robin? And also, why have we heard no mention of Dustin's girlfriend, Susie?
Yeah, he's got Susie, so he's very happy and in love with Susie. I think he just wants his boy to get off of his dry spell. And he's like, dude, this girl is clearly feeling you. Why aren't you seeing that she's a great person? Dustin's seeing Robin for all the amazingness that she is. And Steve is still in that superficial. She's not the head cheerleader. I can't date her.
Maybe.
I agree with that one.
Okay. Yeah. Well, they do their best. They get out of there, and they're doing okay so far. What a motley crew. I think that they're the crew that I have the least faith in. of all of our different groups, they're the ones that I'm like, how are you guys managing to continue? Like, when they're ducking through everything and nobody's seeing them, are you for real?
Okay. They're fumbling a bit.
They're fumbling.
And I don't remember which one of you said, they're so loud. Was it you two?
Yeah.
You guys are screaming.
You're screaming, and there's no one in this hallway, so it's clearly going to echo. People are going to pick up on the voices. This is what I'm thinking of. But they are the underdogs of all the groups we have going, but they made the biggest discovery out of everyone so far.
A discovery that Tiana made 2 episodes ago. Thank you very much.
I told you guys it was underneath the mall the whole time.
Underneath the mall.
No one listened to me, Ryan.
Yeah. Right. Ryan. Yes, I didn't listen. It was me.
That
me.
Is true. So we do see this machine, and I have to say, effects-wise, this looked great.
It looked amazing.
I thought that I was really impressed. We're also still trying to break into Upside Down and sneak behind the curtain for a second when Tiana and I initially were watching the very first season. All of this stuff that we were seeing was on a green screen. So I'm really excited to be watching this in real time where we're watching these awesome rays of like flashes and sparks flying. Much more suspenseful.
The budget's definitely gone up.
There, yeah.
Do you think now, I mean, there was a moment when Steve and Dustin had a bit of an aside and he said, do you think this could be in your relation to the Upside Down? I think they have to tell Robin and Erica now.
I just don't understand what Robin and Erica think's happening.
They just know the Russians are up to something.
Yeah.
But Robin, Erica maybe just for fun, she's young, but Robin's so down for the cause and she literally has no idea what's happening.
She would be the most helpful if she knew what was happening.
Yeah, and I don't get why we haven't told her at this point because she clearly is trustworthy.
But
unless she's a spy. She does speak some Russian.
No.
Sleeper?
Sleeper. No, but here's the thing. Steve and Dustin hadn't put together that this had anything to do with Upside Down or anything. They think they're stopping stuff from the Cold War from happening. Mm. Also, my biggest question of seeing these guys together, because I love Erica so much, and I love Lucas, and I love their brother-sister dynamic. And last episode, we got to see Max and Billy have that one little moment where you can see that, like, there is some caring there, even though they get on each other's nerves. So what's Lucas's reaction going to be when they finally get together and now all of a sudden his little sister's involved in this whole heap of mess? Like, is he going to get big brother mode protective? Like, why would you get my sister involved in this?
He should. Ooh. He definitely should, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see if he steps up. He's so far had a pretty kind of silly character.
Yeah, so I'd like to see him turn into big brother protective mode of, you know.
Steve's yelling at her and is like, you're focused on this, all this other stuff, and we're going to end up dead. She's a kid, bro. Don't say that. And also, she kind of low-key saves the day with that green goo. Which, what's happening there with that acid thing?
She's gonna drink it. Yeah, I don't know what's happening there. I saw them put at least 4 or 5 of them in the machine.
Yes.
While it was actively shooting at that wall. So I think that it has to have something to do with powering the silver cat machine.
At the power plant? Sorry.
No, go ahead. What do you mean, what's at the power plant?
Well, they said they had like a little spot over right by the power plant. So maybe that green goo is something that's made over there?
Mm. Maybe, possibly. I think we still have a ton of questions regarding chemicals. We've got this green stuff. We've got the fertilizer. We've got...
Can we call it the ooze?
I told you about the fertilizer.
What do you mean you told me about
the
fertilizer?
I told you it's used for...
bombs. Yeah,
well, bombs.
You did tell us
I don't know
that.
Why I knew that, too. Yeah,
I know why you knew that.
What?
Weird Googling.
Okay.
Weird Googling. But there's a ton of different chemical stuff going on here, and I think that we just haven't fully put the pieces together. Because this one seemed... very carelessly left out for something that could literally destroy a ground.
Yeah.
That was crazy. We also have our team Joyce and Hopper going on, and they are quarreling.
Couples quarreling.
Couples quarreling.
Yeah.
Squirreling? It's sounding weirder and weirder. As I said, it's squirreling.
They're definitely investigating.
They are investigating, and they are fighting, and they are back and they're forth, and they go to the Hess farm. This reminded me of the new Halloween, because we're going under the bed. We're going down. When they get down there, they find two people who don't understand what the heck they're saying. Are these bad guys, or are they not? Because this is unclear to me.
Are we going based off first impression, or after we get to know a little bit?
Well, we only get to know Alexei slash Smirnoff. We don't even get to know the other guy. Slash, I don't even know where he is.
Other guy's gone.
The other guy just dropped off the face of the earth. No, we're not talking about Terminator. We're talking about the second guy.
He's still down there. I think he's still down there.
He's like the daughter from Family Matters that just disappeared in
just
between
gone.
Seasons.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
She walked upstairs and never came down.
Never came back.
He walked downstairs and never came up.
We'll have to keep an eye out for him.
Are these hired guns, or are they part of the plan? I don't know if they know what they're doing.
I took Alexei as a innocent scientist a la Wild Wild West, how, you know, the bad guys kidnapped him and maybe has his family. And
so he has to know what's happening.
He has to do this stuff to protect his family. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Alexei's such a nice name, but I want him to be nice.
Okay. Mm, I knew an Alexei when I was younger. He was not particularly nice. Oh, okay.
It didn't seem like Terminator guy knew who Alexei was. I think he knew that there was a base down there, but when he was actively shooting, he had no worry in the world if he accidentally hit Alexei.
I did not take it that way. I didn't think he cared if he hit Alexei, but I do think he knew who he was.
You do think he knew who he was?
I think he knew who Alexei and Sidekick were. I don't think he cared if they lived or died.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure.
Because you can find a new scientist anywhere.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. It's so easy to find Russian scientists these days, especially in Hawkins.
But Alexei, by these days, we mean the 80s.
Yes.
Alexei did prove himself that he is helping them at many times when the car was about to explode. He said, stop, stop, stop. He found the 7-Eleven. He helped them not get killed multiple times.
Devil's advocate. Is he helping them or is he helping himself? Because, number one, when the car is about to explode, what happens if it explodes and he's standing there? He's still handcuffed.
He's tied to the tree, too.
He's going to be in trouble. Number two, what happens when he runs away? Is he actually looking for a 7-Eleven, or is he straight up actually trying to run away and happens to stumble upon a 7-Eleven? So I don't know. Everything that they keep showing us of him, is he helping them because he's not a bad guy, or is he just happened to have good luck in this department?
But did you see him in the backseat of that car with that icy?
Chilling.
Come on. He was so sweet and innocent looking. I'm Team Alexei. I think that he's going to be the key to us getting to the bottom of this and stopping the giant Honey, I Shrunk the Kids machine gun panel thing into opening up the
Angelica, talk to me.
I think he's just hired. You know, it's like we see this time and time again with the scientist character. He's objective morally. You know, he's neutral. He's just doing his job. He's trying to push forward science and you know, get the job done. I think it's, you know, the heads of this, right? We've got the evil henchmen. We've got the military man we saw in the first episode. Mm-hmm. Those are probably the evil people. These people are just hired. They're just doing their job or else.
Okay.
Well,
I
would like the chat to weigh in a little bit on this.
In.
Paula Russ, who is joining us from Belgium right now. Hello.
Hey,
thank you.
What time is it there?
I don't know. Good question. Paula says, Alexei is funny and so chill. And Langley says, I dug Alexei. So, I mean, I think that people are trusting that, you know, maybe Alexei isn't so bad.
Okay.
And speaking of our chat, if you guys are in there right now talking, please make sure you guys give us a thumbs up on YouTube. Make sure you go over to iTunes if you're listening to us in audio. Make sure you give us 5 stars and leave us a review. On there, tell us what you love about the show. Tell us what you love about us. Thank you guys for supporting us here at AfterBuzz TV.
Thank you, Tiana, for letting them know where they can find you, because we know you want to talk to them way more than you want to talk to
exactly.
us. Exactly.
Ooh, one more thing.
Yes.
I have a new suggestion for the ice cream gang.
Okay.
Was the Scoop Troops.
Oh.
That came from Crystal Kirsch.
Scoop Troops. I like that, but you know what that made me think of also?
Goof Troop?
No, instead of the Scooby Gang. Scoopy Gang.
Scoopy Gang.
I didn't like as much when I said it out loud. So we get Alexei. We go to 7-Eleven. We don't pay for our Coca-Colas because we're the cops, yo. whatever no, he that. Paid. Well, he said he was. I'm a police officer.
But
are
also,
you going to pay for that?
Hug soda when know. You're that thirsty. Like all the carbonation and stuff.
A lot of Coca-Cola guzzling.
And then we get to a moment that Ryan has some beef
yes,
with.
Major beef with.
Major
not
beef.
Not that he took the car. Because we've seen that happen. If a police officer's in dire need, takes the car. This has happened in many movies. I think this even happens in Jumanji. But there's a moment. There's the fact that he was just acting so carelessly about it. He was acting almost...
Hopper.
Yeah, almost villainous. Like, this doesn't matter. And I know it's the greater good. I know he needs the car. But he literally could have just been... He could have made it a lot quicker. And he could have just said, look, just call the station. We'll figure it out in the future. But as of right now, he took that so nonchalantly. Just not like it, but not kind of out of character for him, I feel.
Yeah, Hopper's not really known for being smooth.
No, but let me ask you this. Last episode, I said, is he starting to lose himself a little bit? Are we worried that the direction he's going to go? Now are you a little more worried?
I think he was losing himself, but now that Joyce is... And Joyce was totally with him on this, by the way. She's almost equally at fault. And
totally.
When he just said, yeah, we're taking this car, she was so game for it mm-hmm. and didn't even ask twice about it. I think he's starting to lose it a little. I think he... He didn't believe
Joyce. Tiana's pissed with that.
I'm not pissed. I'm thinking, Roxy.
It was the tone of that scene. I understand why they had to do it, and I'm fine that they did do it. It was just he was so nonchalant about it, and that just didn't feel right. Something didn't feel right about that.
Equally as nonchalant, Terminator. Terminator comes rolling through, and he's like, okay, but where'd they go? And tell me more, and I'm going to bash your face in at 7-Eleven, even though the two cops are standing right there.
Those cops are worthless.
Who is the bigger threat right now, Angelica? Is it Terminator, or is it Ookie Gookie Monster?
I would say it's definitely the monster.
Okay.
I mean, it's kind of... So, our main monster right now, it's definitely a hidden threat. So I think that's more threatening overall. But then we've got the Terminator, Grigori, running around with his crazy machine guns.
Is Grigori a host?
No.
So this is just him.
His is separate. Just the him. Russians yep. are separate. He has fantastic English, but he is very separate from our main monster. And I think we've just got two antagonists here.
And you don't think any of these Russians by any chance are right now under the control of the monster?
I don't think so. I don't believe that any of the Russians are. But I think that the biggest threat is the gun that's opening up the portal. Because if that gets open, then we have our piece of a monster that was left behind in our world that's, like, morphing into something mixed together with whatever the hell is going to come out of that portal again. And then it's just super monster.
And then, obviously, the bigger threat than that is the fact that we're going to have a lot of refrigerators without magnets on them.
Yep.
Which is a huge issue that we have to address.
How will people know how many places I visited?
Or my report card.
Or my report cards yeah. or anything like that.
Know.
How will I spell out funny messages to my mom and dad if my magnets aren't working?
I guess we're going to have to start taping things,
definitely.
Which seems messy. And
how great is that Russian henchman guy, though?
Yeah.
It's perfect casting. He's the perfect blend of Schwarzenegger, 80s horror, just following people. I got Halloween vibes. He's
I have
great.
A feeling Jean-Claude? That so 80s might mention him. Just a feeling. Who knows, though? But after we leave there, after we leave 7-Eleven, we go back to a place that I did not think we would ever go back to, Mr. Murray's. We head over to a creepy guy's place who is screaming at them and trying to get them to say their names, who apparently speaks Russian, much like Angelica. Sleeper. Totally.
Sleeper.
But, we don't know.
Comes out with a shotgun.
Yeah. Straight up.
Isn't it kind of, like, fun, though, that this is where Nancy and Jonathan went and their relationship started?
Ooh.
And now Hopper and Joyce are showing up.
Oh, that's
we
what
know
we have
that
Tiana
this is
for.
This is like the Boom Boom house, so maybe we can get some Boom Boom going.
You think he's pumping something in the air?
I mean, they say he's a little out there eccentric.
Hey.
Maybe. I don't know. Or maybe people just get there and he really asks the questions of what's happening with you and gets you in that feeling of, oh, self-reflection. Oh, yes, I do have feelings for this person. Oh, we're in love. Let's make love.
And he calls it out. Well, first of all, I want to acknowledge what just happened, but I don't know how to, so I'm going to continue.
Incredible.
He calls it out so quickly what goes on. He's like, you two, lovers fight over there. He knows.
He's in the know.
Oh, my God. He can sense it.
He sensed it with Jonathan Nancy.
But after he says that, Winona has maybe the best scene of her career. Where she just goes off.
Monologue.
We've had the longest day. Like, just goes off.
Oh my and then God. Just told us everything that happened so far in the episode. It's fantastic.
I don't know what was better when she thought she was throwing the gun to Hopper and she missed and it hit and she threw it straight up to the villain Terminator, or when she goes off in this monologue. Like, she is so true to her character. She's the one unwavering character. Just every time, it's like her intentions are always great and her actions are 90% of the time awesome, but that 10%. She's just kind of a goof, and
she is chaotic good.
Yeah. Oh my God, I absolutely love her. What do you think Murray's going to be able to do for them? How's he going
to? He's going to be able to talk to Alexei and find out what's happening, and that Alexei's family is being held hostage by the Russian government, and that if he doesn't build this machine for them, they're going to kill them all, and then they're going to help Alexei stop everything.
Interesting theory, Ryan.
I think that is a big theory.
It's strictly based on.
Ryan was next to you, like,
I was like, I was just trying to think, did he say that? No. Did he interview?
Ryan was trying to think if he said it already, and if I was just repeating it.
He's definitely going to interview Alexei, and last season he did mention the fact that Russians were interested in the Upside Down, so he was the first character in this entire series to really mention all that, so he's the perfect guy to go to. I think that's going to be a big part of the next episode.
Okay, Angelica, how do you feel?
I'm thinking this guy has dirt to dig up. He's good at it, so he's probably going to solve like a huge piece of this puzzle for us. I think Alexei is definitely just kind of neutral, doing his job, doing his thing, and he's going to hop on whatever side is going to save his life.
Can we trust Murray, and can we trust Alexei?
I wouldn't trust Alexei at all.
Murray,
he's a very chaotic character. I would say don't trust him, but I think his information is super valuable and his skills are really valuable.
And we need that right now.
We do.
And let's be honest, we don't have many other options. And you know who else has no options? Segway Queen.
Wow.
Nancy and John. Nancy and John are just about out of options right now. Nancy calls John in a straight up panic. This is a call you do not want from your ex-girlfriend. She calls him, let me talk to your brother. what?
He might not be
also
okay.
It's 5:30 in the morning. Or something ridiculous like that, so
and his brother's
woke
not
me
home.
Up you just woke me up to talk to my little brother.
Just so confusing. For so I just imagine calling one of your exes right now and asking no other words, like, let me talk to your brother, bro, like, come on.
Are you challenging them at home?
Yeah,
everyone do it.
This is an absolute challenge.
Tell us what happens.
And I swear to you, if you do this, we will give you a shout out on air. Just let us know.
Tweet us
the video.
Yeah, do it.
Let me talk to your little brother. It's almost like if I'm John, I'm like, all the process is running through my head. Did she want to hit? Is this an excuse to talk to me? Is she trying to, like, what game is she playing? But then she gets serious and is like, is he okay? And obviously, based off of what's happened in the two previous seasons, Jonathan is extremely worried about his brother. And unfortunately, he's not there, so Nancy can't talk to him. So the two of them have to go and figure this out together. And meanwhile, all the kids are safe-ish. Can we even call it safe right now?
They're safe for now, because after last night's actions, you know.
They're safe-ish, but they're doing typical kids things, where Elle and Max are hanging out in the bathroom, because apparently that's what women do.
Yes, that's what we like to do. Didn't you guys know that?
Don't you want to be mad at things like that, though, and then realize it's true?
Yes.
Yeah, I do. You know, I'm like, that's ridiculously true.
I mean, that's a private area where you can go, and the boys won't go.
What are you guys doing there?
Yeah.
Just, like, hang.
Oh, like, everything.
I don't know how to explain it.
It's just a hangout spot.
Kind of.
Got couches.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if there's a better explanation. You just want to go to the bathroom with your girlfriends. But it's interesting that the girls can hear the guys through the door, and the guys can't hear the girls. Because that's not really how doors work.
Well, because I think the guys just aren't paying attention.
Maybe that's
because they're like out there doing stuff and like talking, and then the girls are out there and they start whispering. So the girls are clearly, we're girls, our spidey senses, we're gonna stop and be like, well, what are they saying out there? They're such idiots. Hey, we can hear you, dirtbags. Hello. Like,
they're listening. Yeah. Their ears are perked up.
Girls are all, even if I'm talking to you, I'm listening to the conversation happening over there just to make sure.
Always.
My name don't come out of no one's mouth.
And then we get the mom, the meatloaf moment. Oh, he's so annoyed. She keeps knocking. He doesn't want to deal with her. But really now, it's Nancy and Jonathan. Right. And I wish we got a little longer on this moment of, what? Why are you guys here? Because I'm so happy that we've now merged this crew. It's kind of crazy that we're on episode 5 and Team Ice Cream, or what are we calling them again?
Scoop Troopers.
Ice Cream Crew.
What is it?
That's my vote.
Scooper Troopers.
Scooper Troopers.
Oh, Scooper Gang.
Scoop
Troop. This feels like something you guys need to decide off air.
I think they said the Scoop Troop, right?
Yeah.
The Scoopy people
are
one group. Nancy and John have been a separate one. And then the younger kids have been another one. So I'm excited to now finally have those two merge. And I wanted more of a reunion moment, although for them it's not as much as a reunion.
Not so much as lives are in danger.
Yeah, I just kind of wanted like some hugs and some tears and like acknowledgement that I'd missed
this. We're going through this again. Can you believe it?
But whatever. We ain't got time for that because we have to go figure out some real life stuff and break into some places, including Tom's. Or Heather's, or Janet's, whatever we're calling it.
Exactly.
The hallway house.
They go there, they find chemicals everywhere.
And they are eaten. They find a lack of chemicals.
They find chemicals
that have been ingested, they find blood, the carpet's been moved. Nancy Drew in the house, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do we think this is where the Tide Pod challenge came from?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, it reminded me of that.
I'm sure there were, if there were Tide Pods back then.
They would have been,
they would have been consumed.
Yes. Tide Pod Challenge.
I always get upset about the Tide Pod Challenge.
It's really gross.
Gronkowski in this life also. Right. Just not what you're looking for. Although people did stupid things in the 80s too. Hey, kids will be kids. And breaking and entering doesn't seem to be much of a stranger to these kids at this point. Because Nancy be breaking into Mrs. Driscoll's and then Tom's. She pretty much doesn't know a lock anymore. She gets in here, she figures it out. I was really impressed.
They put it together.
She put it together real fast.
The garage, and they're, they must have been taken somewhere away from here.
Which is interesting because I never realized that we never actually saw where they were in that basement with everyone. I just always assumed they were downstairs from the house that it all happened in. But now we know that all of this stuff took place somewhere else.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what has to be challenging, though, is that Tom has always been a jerk. So it's hard to figure out when this happened. She does mention the Band-Aid on his head, but it's like, what point was he a monster and when was he just a dick? You know, trying to figure out timeline-wise. I'm being serious.
No, I will say that, but I think that he wasn't, out of everyone at the office, he was kind of more not as bad. Bruce was worse than Tom.
No, remember when Tom was like, guys, leave her alone, and then made another joke?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's rude.
It was savage, but it was
And he was rude to his wife. Oh, you're drunk, and you can grab another drink, you know?
Hello, Tom.
He's not
okay,
a nice
Okay, I won't try to defend Tom.
No. I was like, I mean, on a scale here, he wasn't the worst, but he wasn't great either.
Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. And he's even worse in this episode, because we go to the hospital, we're trying to find Mrs. Driscoll, and
only two can go upstairs. They have the elevator moment, though. We have to talk about the elevator moment, because John apologizes.
Do we have to talk about that?
Yes,
elevator?
Couple
it was
of the
redeemable.
Year. Couple of the year.
Do you feel that way, or are you just messing with me?
I feel that way. I think these guys are a match made in heaven. Yes, they had a magic... They had a huge bump in the road, okay? But he... Okay, I see this look you're giving me. Look, they are a good couple. I think they're made for each other.
What's happening? Yes, thank you, Brianna. What's happening?
They're made for each other.
I mean, I think a little bit, when we were talking about this previously, she is very strong-willed, and then we've got Jonathan who kind of supports her, and then once that support crumbled, didn't work out so well. You know, there's a lot of turbulence here, but we are seeing in this season relationships sort of falter a bit, but then find their strength in that. So I think it's just going along with a bit of a theme here.
It's turbulence. Am I tying it in too much? They're still going to land the plane. They're still going to get there.
Yeah. Are we playing off of the... My words.
I don't know what's happening, but I love Roxy's face right now because she's always pointing out my faces, and this is great.
I have a colorful vocabulary, so thank you, Ryan, for sending a metaphor.
Where do you lie on this?
I do not think that they are match made in heaven, per se.
Made in the upside down.
But I do believe that at this crossroads, that it is okay for them to be together. Right now, I forgive him for what he said and did. We also have to remember he is an 18-year-old boy,
Ryan,
who is still getting used to being in the real world and having a relationship. I'm pretty sure this is his first big relationship. She's learning things, they're growing together. So I think it's nice to see this journey that they're on.
Never forget that she was changing in her room and he was snapping nudes of her. Never forget.
It was a roughy. It was a rocky start.
Is that a rough patch, Ryan? That rough patch.
He had a sheltered childhood. He was very. You know, Ryan, his brother was gone. He's been through a lot.
Don't walk into that.
It's a little undefendable. It's a little. Ryan, can't really defend that, but she's still.
And when I look at him, unfortunately, that is what I see. I still see creepy. He still creeps me out. It's like American Beauty creepy, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to mention that.
Whoa.
But like, he does creepy things, and it just freaks me out. He freaks me out, man. Like, if Nancy went missing, tell me we wouldn't all think it was Jonathan.
This is a town with there's an upside down. There's Russians. I would not think it's Jonathan.
Well,
I think it would be one of those creepy, I don't know, zombies or whatever we saw. Maybe a monster or two.
No, I'm pretty sure it's Jonathan.
Just blame Jonathan.
Okay, so we're at the hospital, and again, Jonathan's useless. Why Nancy decided to bring Jonathan up to the hospital?
That was
room.
A bad.
Okay, but
what?
She called for the brother. I'm going to bring you up instead.
Bring up 11.
Oh yeah, so
guys, what's Will gonna do? You, Will, but he's weak. He can't do anything.
Yeah, but I think that they were going up to have a conversation with her to see what was going on.
I'm taking backup with me up there, Roxy. I am in full war mode, and I need backup.
That's true. Pause. She is artillery.
You don't know. You saw this woman go crazy.
Pause.
Yeah.
I don't know why Nancy's going up there in the first place. Why don't we just send up 11 and Will?
Well, because, yes, but also she's the one who's the granddaughter.
Right, it's the granddaughter.
She's leading this story.
But she said all of these are part of the family.
Extended family.
And you see the nurse just look at Lucas. You see it happen.
Oh, man.
Extended, like.
I mean, that's one of those looks that black people give each other. Yeah. And you don't have to say no words. You just. You know what they're saying?
I thought he was going to say adopted. Extended. Right. Just like, yeah, sure. And then they do go up, and Mrs. Driscoll, she's not there. But you know who is there? Tom and Bruce the Shark. Epic. That is how I felt inside. Who are you more afraid of, Bruce or Tom?
Tom.
Way too long of a pause.
Bruce.
Tom.
Bruce. Ooh, we're split. Something about Tom, I still feel like I could reason with. Bruce was like, here's Johnny.
That really shining-esque.
He was crazy.
He was showing that beauty side of him.
Yeah, he was crazy. And again, like I opened with, I am not sure, Bruce, that this is how we play Marco Polo. This is not, like, do you ever notice in those moments Polo. In TV and movies where it's like, you would not say that. You're really going to jump out, Nancy, and yell Polo?
No.
That was.
Or you don't jump out, yell Polo. Because this is what happened. She opened the curtain, Polo, then jumped, and then swung. You're supposed to open, say Polo as you're swinging.
No, swing. Like, he's down on the ground.
Swing.
Polo.
No, you have to do the action and everything all at once.
Yes, after the fact.
After it.
Or down, Polo.
Yeah, right. That's like a mic drop Polo.
Yeah.
100%.
She did it wrong.
Also, let's talk about people who are doing it wrong. And yes, you know the name who's about to come out of my mouth. Jonathan?
Got his ass kicked.
You got your ass kicked. Your back is broken. Now why are you standing?
Back is
you
broken.
Were not okay, and now you're just chilling?
You know what bugged me after that scene, too, was that I know he's going to think he helped beat up that guy, Bruce, but it's not him. It's Nancy.
Why? This is the biggest question I have, and I feel like I need answers, and I hope that they're going to give them to us. Why are Bruce and Tom connected, but now nobody else that we see are connected?
That's a great question. I think that maybe Tom is the one who made Bruce a co-host, and But then again, if that's how that works, I guess Billy would have been affected by Tom getting injured.
Right, because of Heather.
Well, he didn't
but it might just be a line like that. Because I think Bruce got hit first, right? And then that affected Tom.
But when Tom was getting hit, it affected Bruce, and vice versa.
It's a hive mind. Yeah. Okay. It's a
because
hive mind.
Stab, then Jonathan right. stabbed, then it affects the other way.
It definitely worked like that. I'm curious to see why it didn't affect Billy. We didn't see Billy.
Yeah,
theoretically, it should have affected everybody down there, the whole army of people. So that's what I'm confused about, because then it only took two of them to merge into said monster.
But
what do we call
it
that
didn't,
again?
Oh. Sorry, it didn't affect the other people of the army when we were burning Billy. It affected Mrs. Driscoll. Mm. So there has to be some sort of link of siring or something going on here, because Billy was affected and Driscoll was, but not the rest of the army. Heather was fine.
Yeah.
So we have to figure out what the connection is
Maybe
here.
It's stages. It could be something like that, but that's a good point, because she was affected when Driscoll was
But it's just
burned.
It's just the two of them that are joining into what I wrote down as oatmeal goo. And then they make it. Yeah, thank you, Brie.
Oh, that's what it looked like. I had my eyes closed.
Which is not the mind flare.
Right.
This is the oatmeal goo man.
Yeah, very reminiscent of the thing right here.
So, disgusting, and we don't know more about this, which is why we have to watch the next episode. But before we get to that...
We have one more thing.
Yeah, what is it?
It's with the kids at the vending machine.
Oh, what,
the olive branch?
You're just happy that Elle and Mike are talking again, maybe?
It was sweet.
She bumped
literally.
All
you said
the
candy. We had one more thing. I thought we were going to bring up this epic thing I forgot. Yeah,
I knew what he was talking
about.
One
more thing. In a relationship, that was epic.
Yeah, but you are right. We did have the vending machine moment. And Elle, you know, I could use you in my life because I would like me some candy.
Yeah. But just also, saying. The flirting is distracting them from everything that's happening around them in this hospital.
Very true.
The lights are flickering, and Will's the only one standing up. I'm sorry, I know he's got the spidey sense, but also if I see the lights flashing and after everything I've been through, I should know something's up.
You should be sensing this. Yeah. Your distraction. Elle needs to be alone right now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Stop thinking about making out with each other and get to business.
Love blinds.
Agreed. And now let's get into our special segment. That's so 80s, baby. Yeah.
I like the paper flick.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you guys. Angelica was alluding to this earlier. This episode was all the thing, the blob, monster movie madness. At the very end, that was a direct reference to the thing when both Tom and Bruce mushed up against each other, and then they came together to make that monster. That it happens in the thing when multiple people are the thing and they come together, just like when the dogs and the wolves are trapped in that cage. Direct reference to the thing. The quote, "I'll shoot the daylights out of you," the Hopper said. That is a reference to the 1987 Bond movie with Timothy Dalton in Living Daylights.
Love me some Timothy Dalton.
Good little reference there. Also, he's dressed up like Magnum P.I. We know this. He has the shirt, and maybe that's why he has that behavior. It's kind of a weird reason, though. Didn't like that scene.
How many people are going to be wearing that at Comic-Con? Can't even count it.
Can't even count it.
It's like easy. You just go to, you know...
Oh, I'm going to be one of them.
Yeah.
Just saying.
It's like such a quick, easy cosplay there.
Yeah. Major Terminator reference with that Russian henchman guy. Big time. Just the whole essence of him following them, that storyline. That's the whole first Terminator movie. Them following, tracking them. Great reference there. And the Heathers reference, which I made as a joke a few episodes ago, which is the character named Heather. That was confirmed because when they went to the first house, Tom and Heather's house... It's chemicals everywhere. If you've seen Heathers, the first character that dies in that movie is as a result of eating chemicals. So, a great Heathers reference right there. This was That's So 80s.
Hey, O'Brien. Wow. That's that 80s tea.
Yes.
And now it's time for some news and gossip. Angelica,
Let's get some news. All right. So it turns out we had a cameo earlier in the season that went right over our heads.
No way.
According to Digital Spy, in season one, we actually had Queer Eye's William Mankin appear alongside the chauvinistic Hawkins Post editors.
In season one?
Yes.
What?
Or episode one, sorry.
Oh, season three. Yeah,
season three, episode one. We actually had Queer Eyes William Mankin.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, and so if you guys don't know, William Mankin was a Queer Eyes fan favorite from season two. Did anyone else catch this?
No.
Did anyone in chat catch this?
You know what? I did catch it.
Okay. Yeah.
No, but you, call me on it.
Yeah. Okay.
Check.
Calling you.
You know. See what I say. That's great. I love little cameos like this. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll get another one. The next one.
Maybe.
Oh yeah.
We'll see.
Keep our eyes peeled.
Great news and gossip. That is all we have for episode 5 of season 3. We gotta go watch episode 6. But until then, where can the people keep up with you?
So I'm Angelica Trey, and you can find me on most social medias at A-Trey, A-Y-Y-T-R-A-E, and Instagram at Angelica Trey.
T? You can find me at the Tiana Hobson on Instagram and Twitter, and thank you everyone who's in our live chat right now on YouTube. Thank you guys for being here. You guys keep me entertained.
Yes, it's you guys. It has nothing to do with us. Ryan?
Not us. And you guys can find me at Ryan's Nilsson on Twitter and Instagram. Episode 6 coming up next.
Yeah, and I'm Roxy Stryer. You can find me at Roxy Stryer. You can find us at AfterBuzz TV. Thank you so much to Brianna Phipps in the booth for helping us out. We'll see you guys for episode 6 very soon.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.